Cape Talk, fabulous life.
This feature is brought to you by Obsidian Jewelry. Obsidian Jewelry, a grand obsession since 2005.
Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk.
Now, we're talking about how to plan for a fabulous retirement today. And my next guest is someone who found herself unexpectedly unemployed at the age of 60 and not yet ready to retire. She is, in fact, a former occupational therapist and entrepreneur. And she did what all good entrepreneurs did. She looked for a gap in the market to fill. And it turns out that retirement itself was that gap. Hilary Henderson then embarked on a new career as a life coach, specializing in supporting those who are making the transition to retirement. And she's published a handbook called 7 Questions to answer before you turn 65. Hilary, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today to help talk about some of those big questions and hopefully help a few listeners answer them. Welcome.
Good afternoon to the listeners as well as our lovely audience here.
Great to have you with us, Hilary. Arthur is still standing by in case he wants to dive into the conversation as well. And remember, if you have questions in the audience, please raise a hand. For those at home, please send an SMS to 31567 or leave us a voice note on WhatsApp, 0725671567. Hilary, there's no shortage of information on financial planning for retirement, but what I really liked about this book is that it takes a far more holistic view and recognizes that it's not just about having enough money to be able to retire comfortably, that really there is a lot more to ensuring your happiness in retirement. It's something you've had some first-hand experience with, haven't you, watching your own parents go through the process?
Yes, I had parents who ended up in a retirement village just past 80, and I looked at that and realized that was too late to move. It was a massive downscaling, packing up for them to move across. But once they'd settled in, I realized it was a lovely lifestyle for them to have.
Okay. Now, I love the mental outlook you took on retirement as well, that this is not something to think about as a phase of ending, that rather it's the start of new things, a time of new beginnings. Why do you think it's so important to look at it that way?
Oh, I'm finding retirement such an exciting thing to have in my life. I've come into it with 60 years of wisdom, so hopefully I'm making good choices, and I'm meeting wonderful people, and retirement should be a lovely phase. You've got rid of the children. The children should be independent by now and not leaning on you, and the world's your oyster.
A lot of people laughing in the background because we know that the reality is for many people that it's not as simple as that, Hilary. And one of the things we'll talk about is financial planning. It's wonderful if you're able to afford to move into a facility like the one we're broadcasting from today. But we know the sad fact is for many people, it's just not an option because they started too late or they simply weren't able to set anything aside given the demands of their daily life. The other part of the problem, though, is that our sense of retirement and when it starts and what it looks like has actually changed quite a bit over the past 20 years, hasn't it?
It's changed completely. The baby boomers have changed things all the way up the line, and now we're changing the complete concept for retirement. Because particularly in South Africa, they say that only 5% can afford to retire and maintain their lifestyle. That means 95% have either got to carry on working or have to really cut back on their expenses and tighten their belts.
Or become dependent on family to
Absolutely.
Take them in and, of course, the government to
Absolutely.
Support them. And it's quite different for different sectors of our population and our communities because there's quite a different approach to retirement between different cultures in South Africa, isn't there?
Well, particularly with our black population, apartheid hit them head on. So they don't have the funds to retire in the way that we white peoples, to put a non-PC comment there, middle class, and they don't have that kind of money, so they are resorting on their families to support them, and that means that the black diamonds coming up are really pressured on both sides. They're having, when they move out of home, they're having to buy that first fridge, whereas I was able to get that from somebody else when I moved out. So they're having to buy for themselves as well as look after their parents. So it's putting a big financial burden on them.
I mean, we often hear the term of the black tax, that at the same time as somebody is earning their salary, paying tax to the government, they're also setting aside a portion of their monthly earning to support families even during their working life. Of course, that means that they then arrive at their own retirement stretched, possibly still facing massive debt.
Yes.
I'm interested to know whether you feel men and women need to think differently about planning for this phase of life, moving away from cultures into the genders. Is there a difference in how they need to be thinking about retirement?
I haven't seen any research on it, but my gut feeling is yes, because most of my girlfriends say they have lots of hobbies, they've got plenty to do, but there are quite a lot of men who completely evolved themselves into their work. They've dropped their hobbies. They may have woodwork or something, tinkering on cars as hobbies. But they don't seem to have as many hobbies as women do.
I've seen that in practice, particularly with men, although I have to say seen it with some women as well, but who found it very difficult to make the transition out of a position because so much of their sense of who they were and are is tied up to what they do and their job. And when suddenly that job is gone, the social networks that come with that job are gone, they find themselves a bit adrift and found it quite difficult to adjust to retirement. I'm wondering if those listening can relate to what Hillary's just said, and if you'd like to share with us your sense of what the journey's been like. Again, the invitation is for you to call us on 021-446-0567. A lot of people are asking questions about ages, when you need to start planning and what age you should be retiring at. Arthur made the comment earlier that you should start thinking about saving for retirement the moment you take your very first job. I think I read that in your book as well, Hillary. I'm sure you agree.
Yes. No, the earlier you start saving, the better.
Okay. This book does contain an entire chapter on how to turn your investments into steady capital. I'm not going to go into that level of detail now, but suffice to say, it's there if you'd like to read it. But let's ask this big question about if you don't have enough to live on, if you find that you get to the point where you want to retire and you don't quite have enough to make ends meet. You've got advice in this book for ways of bridging that gap. Can you elaborate a little bit on what some of the options are?
One of them is to start what we call an encore career. That's a new career at the end of your life. You're probably only supplementing your retirement income, so you can be more flexible, you can work part-time. And this is the chance to do something you're really passionate about, where you can contribute and hand back. In the 21st century, they're talking in the literature about dividing our lives into four stages rather than three, and the new one is the one from 65 till you're very elderly, and that was when you can run your encore mm-hmm. career.
Thank you for that. If you've just joined us late to this conversation, my guest is Hillary Henderson, the author of a handbook called Seven Questions to Answer Before You Turn 65. Arthur Case, the CEO of Evergreen, is standing by to answer any questions that might come through for him as well. But lovely comment in here on our WhatsApp line from Jean, saying the following: one of the best things about a retirement village like this is the social activities that it brings the mainly single residents. My grandmother lived in an estate like this, and she made friends, she did aquarobics, she went on day trips organized by the village, as well as holidays, local and international. It was the best decision she ever made, moving from Robertson to a village like this. She lived, was liked and loved until she passed away at the age of 92, holding hands with one of the carers from the frail care, and it gave us such great peace of mind. Gosh, what a beautiful message, Sean. Thank you for sharing that. And that really, Arthur, I mean, that's what it's all about. That is the vision. But I think it speaks volumes, the role of the caregiver in that particular scenario.
Absolutely. And I hope that there are going to be people in the future who will speak about our business in the same way that John has just done. That is the goal. You know, we want to make sure that the retirement lifestyle that people enjoy in our villages, you know, provides everything they need. Excitement, independence, fun, and ultimately when you need the care, it has to be there and provided discreetly so that you can be comfortable. But that is, you know, the great retirement village is the one where the lived experience is similar to the experience that John had with her mum. That's what we strive to do at Evergreen.
Thank you. Hillary, obviously, if you can afford to be in a place like this, to have that life experience is wonderful. There are other options, though, and I want us to talk a little bit about the kind of choices that you need to start thinking about in terms of accommodation. It's not simply a case of you will move into a retirement village. Some people opt to downscale and stay independent in their own home for as long as possible. Some will opt to move in with family. Talk to us a little bit about those choices and what needs to be considered when you make that decision on where you're physically going to live.
A lot of people I speak to at the moment talk about not wanting to move out of their own homes. Now, if you have a big house, perhaps with a swimming pool and a big garden, there is the option to downscale, to find something smaller if you don't want to move into a retirement village. But what one needs to really bear in mind is when you become frail, carers in your own home is not only an intrusion, but it becomes a very expensive option. So other people, what they're doing is trying to get their houses to work for them. They're sort of renting out rooms to Airbnb or to foreign students coming here to learn English. So you could make your home work for you for a while, but in the back of your mind, you need to bear in mind that one day you're going to become frail and you're not going to be able to look after the roof over your own head, mm-hmm. which is why moving into some form of home is a good idea. There are not a lot of facilities available for those trying to live off the social pension, mm-hmm. the South African government pension. And the queues, I gather, are longer than my arm. Mm. For the places that you can live on in 6,000-7,000 rand a month, yeah. if that is what your income is.
Hilary, I mean, Arthur's already spoken to us about the Life Right concept, which is what they have here at Evergreen. There are also options of sectional title and share block type investments. Just on a broad scale, won't you explain for our audience what those are?
Sectional title is the same as buying into a block of flats where you own your flat. So where Arthur spoke about Evergreen look after the buildings and the grounds here, you would have to look after your own flat, and you would have a homeowners or a body corporate managing the building. Share scheme is when you actually buy shares in a company and the company buys the block of flats. I couldn't find a lot of information on either of them because I don't think they're very popular. Mm-hmm. Some people find it difficult to buy into the Life Right concept because when you sell on, you don't make the profit. Evergreen, the developer, will make the profit. So that's what the obstacle people put up mm-hmm. for me. An important thing to remember is all these retirement villages in Cape Town, they're very difficult to compare one with the other because some take pets, some don't. Some mean you have to have meals in, some don't. Mm. So you really have to do your homework and go drive around and visit the ones that appeal to you and pop in and have lunch and visit the frail care at lunchtime and see what it's like to be in that frail care to help you make your decision.
Okay, so one of the big questions is obviously identifying where you are going to want to live and what sort of investment you want to make with that respect. I found it interesting that you needed to state in the book how important it is to have that conversation as a couple if you're planning to retire together. I was quite amazed to read some case studies of people who literally had not, they had just assumed that they were both on the same page, but actually had not had that conversation about, well, this is what I envisage, but actually that's not what I thought we were going to do.
Yes, it has to be a couple decision. And if the wife wants to be near the grandchildren, the husband wants to be near the best golf course, you've actually got to come to a compromise.
Okay. What about moving to a new town? I've watched my parents do that. They relocated from Johannesburg to Knysna, and they've done it very successfully. They've loved the move. It's been a win for them. I've also watched people who've decided they had a great idea of retiring to a quaint little village in the countryside for a quiet retirement, and they've got there, and after 6 months of settling and have looked around and gone, well, what now? There are no movies. There are no restaurants. We miss the social life we had. What's your advice for those who are contemplating that drastic a move?
I'm always hesitant to advocate you move out of the environment where you've lived some time when you're becoming more frail. I've heard horrible stories of people who've moved to New Zealand and Australia to be with their children, and then the children have suddenly been offered fantastic jobs in America. Mm-hmm. So I think that one needs to be really carefully thought through. Sure, and your parents have settled well in Knysna, and it is known as an older population group town. I gather a lot of people are moving to Napier, and that is similarly getting a sort of an older population look about it, and probably is run much like a large retirement village.
Hilary, we're going to talk more in depth about the key health concerns and the questions around health care, etc., in the second hour of the show. So I'm going to leave those big questions for now. Arthur, I think, wants to say something more though, on the issue of accommodation.
I just wanted to mention in respect of Life Rights that Hilary referred to, it is a bit of a mind shift because people aren't buying property. And so your first consideration is not a property investment. You're actually buying a lifestyle. And along with that lifestyle, you are, you're buying insurance so that, as Hilary said, when you age, there are going to be people to take care of you. But there are a number of really important benefits of the Life Right model, which is why we chose it. And some of them are, the Retired Persons Act prohibits the Life Right developer from exercising special levies. Now, you'll know if you are maintaining a large apartment building and large grounds and estates, that from time to time, large amounts of money are required either for serious maintenance or for expansion. In the life right development, that comes from the developer, not from the life right holder. That's quite important. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that we can offer flexibility in purchase price, which you can't do in a sectional title scheme. And because we return the original capital to the purchaser, if the purchaser would prefer to purchase at a lower price, we can simply adjust the capital that is returned at the end, which is very useful to some people who want to, when they sell their home, want to repatriate some capital to use during their retirement phase. And then finally, the ultimate security network is that, unlike the sectional title home, if during your lifetime you run into financial difficulty, there is the life right capital, which with the consent of the life right holder can be accessed. Now, to do that in sectional title, you'd need to sell the roof over your head to get the capital. So there's a whole bunch of really exciting potential benefits with the life right model, and we are going to be exploiting all of those as we grow our business.
Thank you for that, Arthur. Interesting message on Facebook from Karen, who's listening and saying, this conversation on retirement options is particularly interesting to me as I'm only a decade and 11 months away from the big 65, and at the same time dealing with my partner's degenerative condition, which has many of the symptoms of aging. Karen, I'm so glad you're listening today, and I hope that the information you're hearing is of value to you. Hillary, I mean, Karen's in a particularly difficult position because she's not only planning for her own needs, but also for the needs of a partner that she knows is going to have specialized care needs going forward. What's your advice to somebody who's in that position?
As a life coach, I don't dispense with advice, but I would... I would sit down with her and help her look at her options. There are probably lots of options for her, and she may not be seeing them because she's so anxious about her future.
Okay, thank you for that. Cecile on the SMS wants to know, Arthur, if you're planning any villages in the Blouberg or Tableview area. You've spoken about expansion. Can you let any cats out of the bag about where that might happen in Cape Town?
Yes. Well, in fact, the two new big ones on our horizon are, we are almost complete with phase one construction in Noordhoek, and that's going to be a large village with 350 units. And then we've launched our product at the Val de Vie estate in Paarl. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a very large village there with 600 units at Val de Vie. But we will get to the western seaboard, to the western side of the peninsula, and you know, we have exciting expansion plans, just not that location at this very moment. But we will be there. We'll be all over Cape Town. We'll be in Gauteng. We've got exciting new development plans in KZN and in the Eastern Cape.
Thanks for your question, Cecile. Celia asking on the WhatsApp line whether Evergreen offers any units for rental.
No, that's not our model. But occasionally you'll find a life right holder who, for one reason or another, may wish to rent out their own unit, and that is possible. So you can always inquire at any of our villages, but it's not part of our business model.
Fair enough. And then another question, Arthur, before we ask you to put the mic down. Is there a minimum age for somebody to buy into an Evergreen village?
The Retired Persons Act, which life rights fall under, has an age of 55. But at Evergreen, over 55 is the basic cutoff. And if you have a younger partner, if one of the partners is slightly younger, we can accommodate that. The Act allows for 20% of your residents to be younger than 55. But just on that point, what we do find is that somewhere around 60, 62 onwards, people are starting to buy into our villages. We have very few people as young as 55. Mm-hmm. But certainly we would entertain their application if they were interested.
That rings true, Hilary, with what you were saying about how many people are delaying retirement until later in life. And as Arthur's already mentioned, there are many people here living here who are still, in fact, working well past the age at which once would have been regarded as retirement age. Hilary, if I can bring you in just back to the issue of the more social aspect of retirement. One of the things that you really big on in your book is the need to find a new sense of purpose and a sense of keeping a positive attitude through the experience. Times of change are always stressful. They're always they can be overwhelming, in fact. How important is it to come into the decision-making that is so crucial at this time of life with a positive frame of mind?
Very important. You attract what you bring to a situation. So if you go into it positively, then you're likely to attract positive things. If you go in negatively, seeing this as old age and boredom and frailty, etc., then you might well start attracting that and building it up around you. So in coaching, I focus all the time on what are the positive aspects.
The one comment which might interest people in your book is you wrote the line that it's important to keep learning. Now, I think many people would go, at 65, I've written my last test, handed in my last assignment. What do you mean, keep learning? What do you mean by that?
Most people are familiar with the movie Still Alice, which was written by Lisa Genova, who's a neuroplasticity specialist. And she did a TED talk recently that says you need to learn one new thing every day in order to stave off dementia. And so it doesn't mean that you need to study German or Russian. You can just pick up something and learn something new. And I'm finding that the internet is a wonderful resource. Mm-hmm. There are courses online. There's lots of stuff to read that's interesting. So all around us are things we can learn and keep our brains going.
What about the sense of needing to keep on giving? I mean, for some people that will mean giving in the form of being a support to children with grandchildren, helping to stay involved with the family. For others, that might take on a much broader meaning.
There are many opportunities for volunteering in Cape Town and mentoring, looking after the youngsters coming up. If you're a business person and you have those business skills, you can link up with the youngsters who are going out into entrepreneurial ventures. They're being forced into entrepreneurial ventures at the moment. Mm. A lot of them don't know how to tackle it. So to have an older, wiser person who's been there to hold their hands as they do it, to guide them through it, is great. I do find amongst my clients that the older you get, the more you feel you want to contribute and give something back. And in South Africa, we have a whole generation that's unemployed and is going to have to work as entrepreneurs. Mm. And we have so many opportunities where we can do that.
I think the final question, Hilary, is the one many people are asking me on the WhatsApp and SMS, which is, where do they get hold of your book?
It's available on my website. My website is New Horizons, NUHORIZONS.co.za. And if you go on there and order a book, I'll put it in the post for you as soon as possible.
Hilary Henderson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank
the book
you for
is called
me.
7 Questions to Answer Before You Turn 65. I hope we've at least got you thinking about 3 or 4 of them over the last half an hour.